I want to consider with you the passage that we've just read from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. For I feel that the miracle that happened at the heart of that storm on the Sea of Galilee long ago may well have its lesson for the Christian church, the Christian individual, and more especially it may well be for someone even now listening to my voice. The events of that night take their significance for us from the experience of Simon Peter and from his encounter with his Lord. And I want to share these three thoughts with you. In the first place, we have here the story of what I called faith's vision. There were two things that occupied the mind of Simon Peter that dark night. First of all, there was the severity of the storm, of which he was only too conscious. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. They were toiling in rowing. The severity of the storm. Was there ever such a time of storm and stress as now? On the wider canvas of the world scene, clouds of darkness seem to fill the skies, and there's an icy chill of fear in the wind. The life of the nations is as storm-tossed as the waters of the Galilean lake that dark night. The very same question of survival itself is thrusting up its ugly head, and no mere man with any feeling of confidence would dare to answer it. On the narrower scene of personal faith and experience, the individual Christian, too, is only too aware of the severity of the storm. Seldom, if ever before, has the sense of conflict been so acute, the sense of battle so vivid. Materialism beats in upon the soul. Moral standards everywhere are reaching a new low level. Wickedness and evil seem rampant. National aspirations add their disturbing and conflicting currents to the whole picture. The storm seems at its height. The severity of the storm. But faith's vision for Simon Peter held more than this. For in addition, we find here the serenity of the Savior. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking upon the water, and the disciples saw him. Faith's vision, then, sees more than the storm. It sees the Savior, and sees him at the very heart of the tempest, undismayed and unafraid. Across the water, wet, no doubt, with the spume driven by the wind from the crests of the tossing and turbulent waves, moves this serene and regnant figure. If panic had already begun to seize the minds of the fishermen, if fear lest the storm would overwhelm their tossing craft had already laid its cold hand upon the hearts of these men, if turbulence marked the scene upon which they gazed, then in staggering and amazing contrast, peace and serenity seemed to rest upon that kingly form as it moved towards them out of the night. The scene around us, whether in the world or in the circumstances of our lives, may be turbulent enough, but I would suggest that there's no corresponding turbulence at the heart of heaven. The book of the Revelation tells us this when it records John's vision in these words. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. Emerald green, the restful color that speaks of peace, and a throne, and that throne occupied, speaking of an ultimate control, and that not in the hands of man or devil, but of God. Centuries before that, faith had caught a similar glimpse. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The laughter of God, a terrible thing for some, but a wonderful thing for others. I wonder, was there a smile playing around the lips of the Master as he moved across the waters towards that rocking craft? As he drew near to those exhausted and frightened men, a smile of encouragement and of assurance. And so, too, on the smaller and more intimate scale of the storms that beat in upon our human lives, storms of temptation, of difficulty, of sorrow, Christ moves with a mastery and a control that startles and staggers our minds. The severity of the storm and the serenity of the Savior, faith's vision. But there's more here than faith's vision. There's also what I've called faith's venture. Through the storm, across the waters, out of the night, came the voice the disciples knew and loved. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answering him said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Note with me here two further suggestive thoughts. There is here the mastery faith seeks to share. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. What was in the mind of Peter at that moment? Was it just the thrill of a new experience to be able to say that he'd done it? I don't think it was anything so small as that. Surely it was that there was something about Christ in the setting of the storm that drew the heart of this man like a magnet. Christ's control, his power, this mastery of his, to share that, to be with his Lord in that, to be a part of that mastery over the waves, to enter into that peace. All I know is that there is a quality of mastery about the life of Jesus Christ as revealed in the pages of the New Testament that still draws men and tugs at their hearts to live like he lived, to experience his victory, his joy, his peace. Men look wistfully and wonderingly and utter the same prayer, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. A mastery that men long to know and seek to share. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Here we have also the authority faith needs to have. Peter had the good sense, the spiritual discernment to know that while the whole situation and his own aspiration lay utterly beyond the reach of his own pitiful resources, obviously they were not beyond the resources of his master. The vital thing then was to know if Christ wanted him to share this experience, to know this mastery. And the answer came in one word, Come. It was enough, but it was essential. For faith must be rooted and grounded in the word and will of God. Is there then evidence to indicate that mastery is God's intention for the Christian, that serenity is something that we are meant to know? There's not time to give more than a sample selection of the statements of the New Testament that confirm that this is so. My grace is sufficient for thee. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things we are more than conquerors. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And so the scriptures could go on and on and on. The purpose of God revealed in the promises of the Word of God and channeled to us in the person and life of the same triumphant Lord, indwelling us by the Spirit, is that we should know just this very thing. The voice of the Master gives the same assurance today, If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Come. Faith's vision, faith's venture, and finally we have here faith's victory. Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. Faith, victory, yes, but note that it had its moment of danger. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. The moment of danger was the moment of distraction. The moment when his gaze was diverted from Christ. It matters little what it is that distracts us. What does matter is the fact that we are distracted from him. How easily and how often this does happen, and how disastrous the result. The distraction could be anything. Our temptation, our circumstances, our problems, our resentments, our injustices, our sorrows, our wrongs. It doesn't really matter what. What does matter is that our gaze is taken away from Christ, from his sufficiency, from his love, his wisdom, his power, his indwelling reality. Faith's victory has its moments of danger, but it had supremely its miracle of deliverance. And immediately Jesus caught him and linked us together, for I don't think that Christ let him go again. They walked together in triumph and mastery to the ship. I don't think that Peter was looking at the waves now, nor was he looking at those watching and wondering friends of his in the boat. He was looking into the face of the one to whom he was now linked and by whom he was now sustained. And so together they shared the experience of mastery as they moved across the waters through the storm. Mastery is always a miracle, and a miracle that can only be explained in terms of our union with Christ, who is master. Faith's vision, faith's venture, faith's victory. May the story of the storm with a miracle at its heart Be not the story of yesterday, but of today. Not the story of Simon Peter, but your story and mine.